Yes, and then there's talk about Sweden as a role model. You wanted to say something on this first?
Maybe a quick comment?
Yeah.
And this is more based from my personal experience of working with CEDA for 20 years and also based in the field. This is also a political issue. Rural development, be it in Sweden or in our partner countries, is not high on the list of priorities. Rural development, whether it's agriculture, it's human health or anything else, is not top priority. These countries, CEDA works under the guidance of the Ministry of Foreign Affairs. We work following the development cooperation strategies that the government decides here in Sweden. But then when we operationalize these strategies, we work, this is done in dialogue with these partner countries. And that is a very important process. And we are trying as much as possible to follow the priorities of the countries that we are working in. And this means that rural development, rural poverty and so on, not always on top of the agenda. And this is, to a large extent, a political issue that needs to be solved through political means as well. What is possible, I think, from my experience, is when you put it in the context of economic development. Urban areas is very high on the political agenda. Rural development is not, unless we put it in the context of economic development. So I think it's all, as I said before, I think it's very important that we do not treat this as a small separate issue, even if you call it One Health. We put it in a larger context of development, livelihoods development. Then we can possibly attract the interest of our counterparts, because they also have a different time frame. We can say, well, we need to solve this until 2030. For them, it's not relevant. They need to solve problems. They have challenges they need to solve within the coming months, within a few years' time. So we need to appreciate that also in the way that we are promoting these issues. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you very much. That's very true. But commenting on that, I think on human health, there is a lot of discussion now that you need in order to actually reach sustainable health and it's reachable and with not too much investment. You should reach the 7-10 last percent, and that is Hans Rosling message who left us, and it's followed up by Helena at KI. Is there any similar that's actually reaching out to those that are not reached now? Is there a similar discussion on there are those also probably that have poor livestock.
Well, maybe
could follow.
Colleagues here also want to comment on this. But I think I'm not an expert on the statistics on this, but in the contacts I've had with FAO, I think the feeling I catch from talking on about this issue is that possibly eradicating hunger and poverty might be possible until 2030. What is the challenge is what some of the speakers brought up here earlier, the hidden hunger, the malnutrition, yeah, yeah. To just solve the problem about a few carbohydrates. Understand me correctly, that might not be the big challenge, but to provide good nutritional food, that's an even bigger challenge, and that might be more difficult.
Healthy pregnant mothers.
A brief comment to your about the dichotomy between rural areas and urban areas. I mean, the cynic and correct analysis is it's easier or it's more troublesome for government to handle riots in cities than scattered uprisings out in the countryside, and I think that reflects the sometimes the priorities from your counterparts. And I mean, your counterparts in your dialogues at the ministries, they are very similar to us here. And some of them are totally detached from the poverty in the rural areas. And rural poverty reflects something old and ugly that we should not deal with. And I just want to remind us here about the key expression in the Agenda 2030 is that no one should be left behind. That is stressed all the time. And I think they have a very weak voice. It's not only the pastoralists, it's other people out there in the countryside.
Yeah.
So I think your analysis is correct, Ola. I want to support you in that.
Yes, then I come back to this issue of Sweden as a role model. You mention it, and it's not only Swedes saying it, which makes it a bit more reliable when somebody from the outside also is
Donald Trump.
Yeah, Donald Trump, for instance. So we have to be humble, but maybe there are things that we can offer the world around us. And we also have that policy for global development, PGU, where we should actually have comprehensive approaches in different policy areas. Trade is one area, but of course also this with I can never pronounce that, the resistance against antibiotics and so on. So yeah, and that is an issue for development cooperation, for the aid budget, but it must be an issue also from a global perspective, from all other budgets, from your budget.
Let me just tell you something about the Swedish example. This is a personal experience. I was in New York for the adoption of the resolution, and I was at a meeting, and they were all discussing how can we make our farmers stop using antibiotic for growth promotion. And this went on and on, and after a while I sort of asked for the floor, and I said, well, you know, in Sweden it was the farmers in 1986 that decided to stop use antibiotics for growth promotion, and I gave an overview of the Swedish model, and I was actually astonished at the reception. The chair of the meeting said, well, you know, that's in Sweden. You know, you're like, oh, gosh, you're so a utopic and whatever. So this is something I think we really need to keep in mind, because if people think that, yes, it will work well in Sweden, but you're so off the charts in everything, so that's
why we're so homogeneous. We have no immigrants.
Apparently,
for instance.
No, but it is true. We have to be, as you said, we have to be humble, and as you said, to see how it fits in with the country's own priorities and work.
Mm-hmm. Is that of course an OECD and these OECD's committees? This is something to start to work on there, I guess. Mm.
I think in that regard, you know, Sweden has been very effective in raising the antimicrobial resistance debate. So, you know, the efforts you put in over the last decade have paid dividends. Without that effort, it wouldn't be the same. So, and I think there are movements taking place in developing countries that are largely driven by private sector interests about maintaining their business models. So things are changing. But again, we're not measuring it. So if we don't measure and we can't crow about it, then it's going to be very difficult to sell as a message in the future.
You mean keep nagging showing result. This is, of course, I would like this. It's what about how to do this? You have Sweden is Sweden and all other countries. We are members of international organizations, where we meet colleagues from all over the world and from low and middle income countries. Are we efficient when it comes to preparing delegations and seeing to that we are well placed with staff and offering staff and so on? I think we have been doing that to some extent over the years, but we also hear complaints that there's too little professionalism sometimes. Is that so, or are we doing very well? Ola?
Well, CEDA is not really the decision-making body in this, I think so. But possibly I could. We are doing some things in CEDA, as you have seen in the report, where there's a reference to some of the things we are doing. We are also, as mentioned by Sam here before, we are preparing for an international training course on animal health. We have examples on working with animal health in some of our rural development programs in Africa. We have one in Zambia, for instance, which takes as a starting point the private sector, actually, to develop, not look at farmers as some kind of, you know, soft, light existence, but rather to help them either develop or move out of agriculture. to develop as entrepreneurs, find other ways of securing their livelihoods. Mm-hmm. It's a program called Musica, working on economic development in rural and agriculture sectors. And there's a component which has a very long name. I wonder if I brought that paper. Yes. It's a common component called Stimulating the Development of the Smallholder Market for Veterinary, Genetic and Nutrition Products and Services. And I think that is a very important way to go, because we know from the 80s, 90s, the failure of the government-run extension services and other services. I think the local market is maybe not the perfect solution, but a better solution to work with is on how entrepreneurs, farmers and others can solve the problems at the local level better than some top-down organization. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Also, we have one of the largest budget posts in CEDA's global research funding goes to the CGIR research, mm-hmm. Where it's not earmarked, but I know that some of the funding goes towards animal husbandry and animal health. Yeah, mm-hmm. Just a few comments.
Yeah, thank you.
And a big component of gender-related research in agriculture.
Yes.
It's one of the cross-cutting issues.
Yes.
Of the CGIR, of the cigar. So what now you represent the expertise in this field. Do you feel that you are enough involved in the international policy making and international dialogue and recommendations in this field? Do you have access? Now you have access.
Yes. yes and no. I had a privilege over the 10-15 years to work in the FAO circles and also with the CDIR circles. And this is a personal reflection, and it's, I think Swedish professionals, there are sitting some here, and I think you could share the experience with me that in this field that other countries, many other countries, in relation to FAO, for instance, they provide secondments and things like that. But that is banned in Sweden. If I move here and become a taxpayer instead of a professional, I'm very frustrated of that. Because Sweden is always the so-called good donor and paying lump sums, and then that is handled without, not the basis on the Swedish values and standards, whereas other countries are moving in professionals as in secondments and so. And also perhaps to the CGI system, CGIR system, Swedish is the good donor and give lump sums, whereas areas where Sweden could prioritize and for instance, and gender animal health, if that could be a priority. We could provide expertise and so with earmarked money and so. But I feel this is not constructive, but I put it like this. It's a great room for improvement to involve Swedish expertise in the international work in this field. But there is a need for more political support and some Swedish mechanisms are very odd in international comparison. That was a little bit, yeah.
And they have basically also served us well, so it becomes complicated. But maybe Eva will contribute also in this field. I think we have a study underway now on the virtues of core finance and versus more interventions from our side. So, but it does not necessarily mean that you shouldn't have core funding. You can still be involved in the work in various ways, the professionals, and I think we do. Now, are there knowledge gaps? We'll soon conclude this. But another question: what about research? Is there need for more knowledge, or is it basically implementation and good organisation and institution buildings that are required? Or what about research? We will soon have a seminar on research on global issues also. where we have had a report on the Swedish development cooperation for research.
Yeah, well, of course there is always need for research, but basically I think the great need in this context is to strengthen the national resources for research in the target countries. That's what Sweden really has great experience of and can continue to contribute with. And to be quite honest, the support for agriculture in general in aid, the Swedish aid in agriculture has decreased dramatically during the last 20-30 years, and the component of animal health, animal husbandry as part of agricultural aid is also diminishing. So, and Gunbrit, you mentioned initially about the international courseworks that were done in veterinary sciences like reproduction, veterinary pathology, those sorts, they were flagships from SIDA and from Sweden, reaching a great number of key persons, scientists and professionals in a number of low-income countries. They have been stopped since 15, 20 years or so and are not continuing. So I think there is a great, there is a possibility for Sweden really to take new initiatives in building up training and teaching capacity in target countries, working closely with specific universities, specific agencies, etc., in those countries. That gives a great
Peter. Yeah. It would leverage.
Thank you.
Now, and a related question, and to you, I mean, we Sweden do participate in actively in many international organizations, and we have been strong in the CIGAR, as we call it. and I remember I used to come to the meetings, and we always push for this. The CIGAR institutions will also have to deal with the national level much more and build capacity. What's the state of that now? Or what is the state of research from your perspective, the capacity for uptake in your partner countries?
I think that's also just what was mentioned as well. This is key, because a lot of the research gaps that we have and that we still see, they can actually be addressed by the countries themselves, but the research capacity in the countries needs to be improved and built up. So in that sense, actually something to come back to the strengths of Sweden, all the post-grad programs that have been running, I think that's really a way to make a difference, because we work in with the national institutions, and we do often come across people that did their PhD in Sweden or in Norway or wherever, or in the UK and in Belgium, and this is really valuable, and you can see that really drives the research agenda as well, and the way research is being approached. So I would very much echo what has been said. And yes, we do a lot. Most of the research that is done through the CG system is done with national institutions. We couldn't do it. For example, in Ethiopia, my team is too small to do the field, to do the work in the field. So there we heavily rely on national institutions and on maintaining and building or improving existing partnerships with national research institutions.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Maybe could I ask you again from the ministry? You have heard a lot now. What do you see? What is the scope for having an efficient Swedish PGU policy in this field?
I think there's great scope for doing this. We at the ministry, we cooperate very widely within the ministry because we're different departments dealing with animal health and international affairs, but also with other ministries, of course, mostly foreign affairs, but also the Ministry for Social Welfare and Health, as well as the Defense Ministry and the Environmental Ministry. And we do get documents and information of what is going on, and we try our level best to introduce these areas continuously. Sometimes I would agree with Ulf that it's a bit of an uphill struggle, but we hope that this will change, because as Jonathan said also, with the antimicrobial resistance, which was very, very difficult. I was at the FAO at the time when we got the FAO resolution through. It has changed. So I'm hoping that we can start seeing things a bit more interconnectedly. And I personally think that Agenda 2030 is a big tool for this, because we need to work together in a new way to do this. So.
Thank you. Yeah, Ola.
Just a quick comment on a few things. First of all, I think it's important to remember that development cooperation is not only something that CEDA is doing. The Ministry of Foreign Affairs is doing a lot. And through the PGU, all the different Swedish state agencies should work with this as one of their targets. When it comes to core funding that CEDA is providing to a lot of organizations, not only in agriculture sector, but other sectors, it's not something really that we just decide, this might work well. It's based on a political decision from the government saying that we should work in this organization based on the member countries, member organizations of that organization and their priorities. And I think that is also a challenge for us here at Sweden. We must be even more effective and good at working from an international perspective, be it in the government sector, civil society, or private sector, to be relevant for cooperation in these different organizations. That is part of the way of solving how to get into this international market of working with development cooperation. And I think that is one of the reasons behind why the government decided that we should work more with this core funding.
Yes, and influence through the boards and so on.
Yes.
Actually, we have come to an end of this part, but I should give you the floor first because you a quickie.
I just want to raise something that we tend to forget. So, yes, research on the technical issues is still important. It's a core. My experience is not many vets or veterinary assistants are that well-versed with management science and administration. And that puts them behind the piece in terms of arguing for further resources and for managing the resources they have. So I would ask for a separate pot to actually just be dedicated to actually improving capacities of that side and having research around how it functions.
Thank you very much. I think that has been the Swedish development research model, more or less. Thank you, and I think we have had a very lively discussion here. And I will not summarize. Only say that I'm quite impressed with the report and the response that it has had from you, the full understanding of the content, and now I look forward to see what will actually come out of it more in concrete terms also. It seems a lot of things are going on, and I think we also agree that the 2030 could be a vehicle for having more impact also in this field. And it's complicated with the 2030, however, because actually everything is important and everything is connected, but we have to do some concrete things too, and it's a matter of actually having that identified, and you have helped that. So thank you very much.